God and our Creator. I look outside, it's another sunny day, a beautiful day, a day we continue to see the leaves that have changed colors and have started to fall on the ground, just constant reminders of the creativity and the power of our God, and it is He that we have come to worship this morning. If you are visiting with us, we thank you so much for being here. We hope that you find that your time here is spiritually beneficial, and we ask that you stick around for just a few minutes so that we have an opportunity to say hello and to get to know you just a little bit better. Well, if you would, go on and take your Bibles and open them up to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17, and there we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 19 this morning. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Luke writes, "On the way to Jerusalem, he, being Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" All throughout Jesus' ministry, we see those who are needy, those who are destitute, those who are sick and ailing, coming to Jesus. And oftentimes we see Jesus responding and healing those people. Many of those instances, we are unable to see the reaction of those people. But here in Luke chapter 17, we do see a reaction. In fact, specifically, we see the reaction of one man in particular, and he teaches us a lot about who genuinely deserves our gratitude and thanks in this life. And so this morning, I want to look at this story, look at this man's reaction, and make a few lessons from it as we go into our week. And it starts out in verse 11 with Jesus going to Jerusalem, passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. They're lifting up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. If you remember all the way back in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Luke tells us that Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. And what that tells us is that everything that Jesus did and everywhere that he went, it was taking him one step closer to that final journey to Jerusalem that would result in his death on the cross. Fast forward to Luke chapter 17, we're in the final stages of Jesus' ministry. He's getting ever so near to Jerusalem. And on this trip, he enters into a village and he is met by 10 lepers. And it says that these lepers stood at a distance. And that seems like such a subtle phrase, but it's an interesting phrase because normally when we see people who are in need or people who are sick seeing Jesus, what are they doing? They're running to Jesus. Oftentimes we see people crowding around Jesus, trying to touch Jesus or get a glimpse of Jesus. I'm reminded of Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, when it says a great crowd heard all that Jesus was doing, and they came to him. And he told the disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him, for he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. People wanted to be close. People wanted to reach out their hand just to touch a thread of his garment. But that's not the case with these lepers. They stood at a distance. And in fact, that's to be expected. Because leprosy, under Jewish law, was something that would cast somebody somebody out of the congregation of Israel. If a person was found to be leprous, they could come in contact with no one except for other people who were leprous. In Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, we see a lengthy prescription of what to do if it was suspected that somebody was developing leprosy. They would go to the priest, and the priest would act like a health examiner, and he would look at the spot, examine the spot, and if it was determined that it was a leprous spot, then he would be cast out. The person had to wear their clothes a certain way. Their hair had to hang loose. They were to cover their lip and cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" All as a way of identifying themselves as someone that needed to be kept away from. They were leprous. Unclean according to the law. You can just imagine how emotionally challenging that would be. To be cast away from friends, to be cast away from family. Lepers were not allowed to enter into the temple to worship. It was a sad and pitiful life. So it was emotionally challenging, but it was also physically challenging. In the Bible, leprosy could refer to a number of different skin ailments or diseases. Some of those would clear up on their own, but some of them would not. They were permanent, and they would lead to a person's death. Today, in the 21st century, when we think of leprosy, we think of what is called Hansen's disease. It is the disease that causes extreme growth on the body, deforms the limbs, it kills the nerves, so a person can no longer feel pain. In fact, a lot of the injuries that are caused because a person can't feel something. So they end up burning themselves or cutting themselves. It affects the vocal cords. They cannot speak as powerfully as they once could. Maybe the people here in Luke chapter 17 are dealing with what we know as Hansen's disease. I don't know for certain. But I do know that what they were dealing with was sad. And it was something that I know they wanted to get rid of more than anything else. And so they cry out to Jesus. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And that's a telling statement because not only do they know the name of Jesus, but they refer to Him as Master. They knew His reputation. They knew that He had the power to heal. They knew that He had healed. And when they see Jesus approaching, they see Him as a way out of their misery. And so they say to Him, "Jesus, look at us. Have pity on us. Help us." When they saw Jesus, they saw hope. And when Jesus saw them, He felt compassion. We know that Jesus would look upon people with compassion because Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 tells us that when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, it says that when Jesus went ashore, He saw a great crowd and had compassion on them, and He healed their sick. I know that Jesus had compassion on these 10 lepers. Because in verse 14, it says that when He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And you think, well, hold on. How is that a compassionate statement? It sounds like He's pushing them off on someone else. Well, I would agree it is unexpected. Maybe even unexpected to these 10 men. We'd expect Him to do something similar to what He did with the leper in Luke chapter 5. You remember there was a man full of leprosy, and he came to Jesus, and he said, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leper charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. Now that's what we would expect to see with Jesus and the 10 lepers, saying, come here, I will heal you, let me touch you, and you will be cleansed. But he doesn't say any of that. Instead, he just says, go and show yourselves to the priests. But did you notice in Luke chapter 5 what Jesus did after he had healed that man? What did he tell him to do? He told the man to go and show himself to the priest. And there's a reason for that. Because under the old law, if a leper was cleansed, before they could enter back into the congregation, they would first have to present themselves to the priest so the priest could examine their skin and determine whether or not the person truly had been cleansed of their leprosy. And if they had been cleansed, they could go through a certain procedure and then enter back into the congregation of the people. And so at first glance, what Jesus tells the 10 lepers to do seems off. But in light of what we know about the old law, in light of what we see in Luke chapter 5, what he's telling them is this: you are going to be cleansed. And so go, and for a proof of that, lift the priest's seat. And that's what they do. They go on their way. None of them question, well, Jesus, aren't you going to touch me first? Or aren't you going to at least utter the words, be healed? No, in faith, they go. And what a powerful lesson for us. Jesus tells us things that may not make sense to us, or we might question, wouldn't it be better if it was done this way or that way? That's not our place. When Jesus says something, we need to be people of faith and just do it. When Jesus says, love your neighbor, our response is, Jesus, are you sure about that? Do you really know him as well as I do? Because if you did know this guy, I don't think you'd love him. When Jesus says, love your neighbor, or love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, well, Jesus, I don't know about that. I mean, they've really wronged me. And if you knew just how much they had hurt me, you wouldn't ask me to do that. Well, what about seek first the kingdom of God? Well, yeah, I want to seek the kingdom, Jesus, but, you know, there's just some other things that are really pressing right now, and some other things that I have high on my priority list, and let me get these things done first. We need to take the attitude of these 10 lepers, and when Jesus says something, we immediately respond and we do it. And that's what they did. And it says that as they went on their way to the priests, they were cleansed. Before they even reached their destination, they were cleansed of this terrible disease. It was eradicated from their bodies. Jesus didn't have to touch them. He didn't have to utter the words, be cleansed, but from a distance, he simultaneously healed each one of them. And that is power. And that is compassion on behalf of Jesus. And one of these men, as he was on his way to the priest, took special notes. And it says that when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. So can you give me a glass of water? I've been sick over the past couple days, so I felt it coming on, so bear with me. So on the way, this man sees that he is being cleansed. And he recognizes that God with a loud voice. And that phrase, loud voice, is telling. Because the Greek is megas phone. Megas phone. Mega phone. Right? Loud. Exciting. It communicates to us the emotion of this man. And with this loud voice, he is praising God. And he's falling at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to Jesus. And what does that tell you about this particular individual? That he turns back around and with a loud voice praises God and thanks Christ. It tells me that he recognized that Jesus was more than just a man. It seems to me that this man knew that he had been healed by the power of God and maybe even understood that he was in the presence of God. I think this realization caused the man to understand something else. That not only had he been physically sick, that he was also spiritually sick. I think this man understood at that point in time when he was cleansed that Jesus was the one who had the power to cleanse the man's soul. I think about Mark chapter 2 when I think about this particular part of Luke chapter 17. And in Mark chapter 2, thank you so much. In Mark chapter 2, the paralytic was brought to Jesus by his friends, and the house was so full that they couldn't even get in. And so they lower the man through the roof. And Jesus, upon seeing this, says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And it says there that some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Only God can forgive sins. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus is pointing out that he is God. To what extent this man, this leper, understood that, I don't know. But I do believe he understood it enough to come back to Jesus, knowing that Jesus had the power to cleanse his soul from sin. And in verse 17, Jesus answered the man, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Wait a second, there were 10 of you. Where's everyone else? Here's another interesting part of the story, because Jesus points out that this man was a foreigner, and Luke indicates that the man was a Samaritan. It seems to point to the fact that the majority of the 9, or in fact, maybe all of the 9, were Jews. God's chosen people, whose fathers were Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so when Jesus says this, it's likely not just an indictment against the 9, but he may be showing the attitude of the Jews as a whole. I have no doubt that those 9 men were excited to be healed. I'd say they were overjoyed, thankful that they were able to go back to their homes, to their families, to their friends, enter back into the temple. They were happy to have received the physical blessings of Jesus. But it seems that they were blinded, unlike the other men. They were blinded to the fact that Jesus provides spiritual healing as well. Again, I think about John chapter 6. When Jesus is feeding the 5,000, maybe when you include the women and children, in excess of 10,000 people. And he crosses bread of life, and whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, they shall have eternal life. He begins giving them spiritual nourishment. But at that point, they were no part of it. In fact, Jesus even said, "You came to me only because I fed you." They were happy to receive the physical blessings, but they had no interest in the spiritual. And I only wonder if that's what's happening here with the nine. People who received physical healing from Christ were excited about it, but they didn't see the spiritual healing that Jesus could provide. But the one man came running back, and he saw his need. He recognized that Jesus was the only one who could not only heal him physically, but also spiritually. And so, in verse 19, Jesus said to the man, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And to me, that is an indication that this was a spiritual healing going on here, because he, along with the other nine, had already been made well physically. But the one comes running back, and Jesus acknowledges, "Rise and go your way. Because of your faith, you have been made well." And so, there are a few lessons that I want us to conclude with this morning. And the first is, we have all been blessed by God. But the question is, how many of us see our sins in light of those blessings and then turn around and fall at the feet of Jesus? All 10 of those men were healed. All 10 received physical blessing. But only one turned around in sincere gratitude and thanks, praising God and giving thanks. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus tells us that God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. That God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Every single person is impacted by the blessings of God. Every single person experiences the warmth of the sun, the benefits of the rain, the food that the rain brings, the clothing that we have, the shelter that we are able to live in. The question is, how many of us actually see those things as the power and the compassion of God? And how many of us are motivated then to turn and praise God and fall at the feet of Jesus? Then you consider the fact of what Christ did spiritually for every single person on this earth. The fact that he put himself on that cross willingly so that our souls could in fact be cleansed. Do we look at that and see power and compassion and go falling at his feet? You should. And some of us have. And if we have responded in that way, if we have seen our sin and have asked for him to cleanse our souls, then we should have a gratitude towards Jesus that should never stop. Our hearts should always be bowed down before him. Consider what Jesus did on the cross. Consider what he sacrificed. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to these words that Paul speaks. It says, "For while we were still sick, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and while that we were still sinners, Christ Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We were weak. We were sinners. We were enemies. But because of what Christ did for us through the shedding of his blood, we have been brought near. We have been reconciled to God. I appreciate Lance leading the song that he did before I got up this morning. It is a song that was on my mind throughout the course of putting this sermon together. It is a song that reminds us that we were once weak, but now we can say, I am strong. The poor can say, I am rich. The sick can say, I am whole. And the bound can say, I am free. It is absolutely remarkable what Christ has done for us. And do we give him thanks for that? Do we show him the gratitude that he deserves? Or do we fail to offer that gratitude? Do we fail to always remember what it is he has done? Even worse, do we complain about the life and the blessings that he has given us? Do we put so much focus on the struggles of this life that we say, well, I'm always sick. And I wish I wasn't sick all the time. Why did God, do you have to leave me in this state? Or God, this job that I have, I despise this job. Why can't I get out of this? Do we do that despite everything God has done for us? All the blessings that he has showered upon us? Think about the Israelites and their wandering in the wilderness. And God provides them food. He takes care of them. He gives them manna every day for sustenance, yet they complain and complain and complain. God has richly blessed his people. And we should not be characterized as a complaining people, but a people of gratitude. And if we are showing gratitude towards Jesus, then that attitude should carry over into every other aspect of our lives. In other words, thank you should be words that frequently come off of our lips. Some of you have jobs right now that you were given because someone else helped you get a foot in the door. Maybe they connected you with your current boss, or they were a reference to you. Tell them thank you. Or maybe you think about your grandparents and the things that they have done for you, the lessons that they have taught you. Take an opportunity to express your thanks and your gratitude. Be like the leper who had that attitude of gratitude. Or thank the person who led you to Christ. And it may not have been one person, but maybe a number of people over a number of years. Tell them how thankful you are for the time and the energy that they invested in you. And then lastly this morning, I just want to conclude by asking this. Are you a spiritual leper? Leprosy in the Bible is a vivid picture of sin and how it affects our lives, how it ultimately leads to death. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it tells us the wages of sin is death. But it goes on to say that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the question this morning is this: is your soul sick with leprosy? reconciliation. And that reconciliation can be yours this morning if you allow the cleansing blood of Jesus to heal your soul. Your soul can be made.